Amber Barrett, 10 for the Republic of Ireland. Amber Barrett from 4 yards out.
OTB live commentary. Never miss the action right here on OTB Sports Radio.
8:42, back to the football. Alan Smith, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Arsenal legend Alan Smith, delighted you could join us on the line this morning. We're trying to make sense of exactly where it is Arsenal are at today. 3-2 defeat to Manchester United last night. Two mostly fairly average teams slogging it out, and a couple of goals from one of the greatest footballers of all time decides it. And after all of that, where exactly are Arsenal at, Alan?
Arsenal are on that ladder trying to clamber back up to where they once were. And, you know, sometimes I think they'll slip down a rung like they did last night. And, you know, they slipped down a couple against Liverpool. But, yeah, I mean, it was disappointing because I thought it was a match they could have got something from. Played some really nice football at times. But, again, their inexperience perhaps coming back to cost them. You know, Martin Odegaard decided to jump in when he shouldn't have to give away that penalty. But, you know, there's enough there still to think that Arteta continues to take him in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, I do think that we spend too much time talking about the rights and wrongs of a manager, and there's no better two teams than we've done that over the last 6 months or more. But seeing as you brought it up, he obviously is a couple of years in the job, and the biggest criticism is maybe that he's not settled on his plans, he's maybe got too many ideas, he's not exactly sure what he's doing in some ways. But I mean, I think you can include last night's game in the round. You have to take Liverpool out of it maybe in some ways because it's not necessarily a fair benchmark of that Arsenal team. But other than that, a lot of really good signs that they're going in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, I can see a structure there now. It was difficult a year back, but he's able to pick a more consistent team now, a more consistent back five, which is helping him. There are still, you know, some problems within that side. Midfield doesn't look right. Thomas Partey's not playing particularly well at the moment, and that's hindering the team, I think. And of course, there's the centre-forward question. Aubameyang, what is he now, 32? He's on the downward slope. He's not producing and performing the way that he once was. Lacazette's going to leave the club. So that's going to be a big challenge for Arsenal, finding a centre-forward that can lead the line and take the team forward. You know, the way that they play, you can see that they all know their individual jobs, that they are nice and compact now. They make it more difficult for opponents. The pressing is really good. But, you know, he still needs to bring in more quality to that team. But as I said earlier, it's a young side that will get better. And if the recruitment continues to be as successful as it seems to have been in the summer, with Tomiyasu and Tavares, Lokonga as being good. You know, these are players that not many people were chasing, but they look like becoming good Premier League players. I mean, if you can get a centre-forward in that kind of style as well, he's done well.
That centre-forward conversation is becoming a big problem, Alan, because as you say, he's on the downward slope now. Aubameyang, statistically, we were talking about this earlier on in the show, he's gone off a cliff statistically. It's been bad numbers from him ever since two seasons ago. So what do you do in the short term? Is there a chance that Aubameyang actually gets dropped for the Everton game?
Well, it's possible, but, you know, there isn't an immediate replacement. I mean, Arteta could go with a false nine, which a lot of the top coaches like to do. But I don't know. I don't know what he'll try. You know, that those that are just on the fringes, the likes of Eddie Nketiah. I mean, Martinelli's re-emergence has been encouraging because, you know, he had an injury and he fell away. His confidence seemed to take a dip, but now he's getting that kind of competitive edge back and that fitness back, and he can be a handful. I don't think he's going to be the answer through the middle, but short term, maybe he can do a job. But yeah, I mean, everybody at Arsenal, the recruitment department, they'll all be thinking, they'll all be searching out there for somebody they can bring him as a longer term replacement through the middle.
Given he's only 20 years of age, how much work would need to be done with someone like Gabriel Martinelli to transform him into a central playing player? Because it seems that on the flanks they're okay at the moment, and yes, this may be a very short term view, but if he managed to work as a number 9, that could be a real winner for Mikel Arteta.
Yeah, it could. And I always think that if you've got a nice structure that everybody understands, it's a bit easier for somebody like Martinelli to move inside and do a job. you know, we've seen it at Manchester City, Bernardo Silva, Sterling, Foden, they've all played through the middle because everybody's 100% sure of how that system works. And Arteta's trying to move towards that. Long way to go to reaching Pep standards. But yeah, it might be a possibility. And there's no doubt he's a talent. There's no doubt he's a talent. Somebody that has got the pace, he's got the appetite, and it might be something, as I say, in the short term that he could do.
What would you do in the short term? Because, I mean, looking at it last night, and we're talking about the future of Mikel Arteta now at this stage, he must be pulling his hair out looking at it last night. That chance that Aubameyang scuffs with 15 minutes to go, and suddenly it's a very different outlook on the game. What would you do with the components that he has, the window notwithstanding, the components that he has even ahead of Everton this week, Monday?
I mean, I'd be inclined to stick with Aubameyang. I know at the moment he's a shadow of a player he once was, but he does give the side a focal point. He's somebody that can still threaten him behind and stretch teams. But yeah, I mean, he missed that sitter, didn't he, against Newcastle, and then last night he might have been offside, but it was still a miss. But you know, in the absence of anything really glaring, shouting out at Arteta to go in a different direction, I think he should stick with him.
It seems to become a theme this season as well, Alan, where Arsenal go 1-0 up and then look increasingly uncomfortable trying to defend a lead. Why is that?
Well, yeah, I think Arteta was on the touchline, you know, urging his players to get up the pitch. It just seems to be a subconscious thing. I don't know. You're protecting what you've got. It's happened too many times, and it is disappointing, you know, conceding the momentum to the opposition, the initiative like they did, and then Old Trafford gets up out of the seats, and it makes it difficult. So that's something they've got to address without question. You know, I mean, the positive thing is that they have been going a goal up, but then it's how you react after that. You know, go for the second, keep on with that game plan, keep being positive. But for whatever reason, everybody's taking a step or two back. So, yeah, I'm sure that's something that they'll be talking about.
Is that down to the players? Is it down to the management? Is it even down to those leading the line and maintaining that aggressive press even after you take that lead?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine it's down to the players more than anything. As I say, I don't think it's a conscious thing. I mean, again, you know, I use the word it's inexperienced, the team, it's young, and maybe that plays a part. But having said that, there's enough experienced lads in there. And again, I'll go back to Thomas Partey. You know, he can be an influential force in the middle of the park. I mean, he's been around the block many times at Atletico Madrid, and I don't know how much of a talker he is, but when you're not playing too well yourself, I think, you know, that affects your ability to kind of marshal the team. But yeah, it's something certainly that has hindered them in the last weeks and months.
If we're looking for mirror images between Manchester United and Arsenal, the conversation we were having about concerns over a number nine might have been replicated in Manchester United over the last little while. What's your stance on Cristiano Ronaldo and Manchester United without the ball? Do you subscribe to the notion that there are problems there when he's on the pitch?
Well, they can't play in exactly the same way, can they? In terms of that aggressive, you know, high-intensity pressing. It's going to be fascinating to see how Ralf Rangnick deals with Ronaldo, whether, you know, he'll pick him more often than not, whether he'll dip him in and out, because we know it's kind of harum scarum football with Van Dijk, you know, very high intensity. So, yeah, that's going to be a big one for him. He wouldn't have managed somebody with Ronaldo's reputation before. And it's, you know, it always blows up in the press if he's not playing, anything that happens to Ronaldo's big news. But, God, I mean, he's still a fantastic player, isn't he? I mean, the finish for his first goal was just lovely. He's still got that appetite. So there's still a huge part for him to play at United.
How do you see this whole top four race playing out then? Like, I mean, if you're an Arsenal follower, you're kind of looking over at Antonio Conte and Rangnick coming into the squad, probably with a fair degree of concern that experience may take them into the top four as opposed to Arsenal. So how do you see it playing out?
Yeah, I mean, if Arsenal were to finish in the top four, that would be a heck of an achievement, you know, above and beyond their standing at the moment, their abilities, I think. Remains to be seen what Antonio Conte can do with that that Tottenham squad, which certainly needs more quality being brought into it. I think he's got so many challenges there, not least the defence. But we know he's going to be challenging at the top. It's difficult to split, certainly Chelsea and Manchester City and Liverpool as well. Three formidable teams. And then it's the others scrapping for the bits and pieces and at that fourth spot. I, as much as I'd like to say it and see it, I don't think Arsenal are going to get there. But, you know, if they were to finish fifth or sixth, as crazy as it sounds, that represents progress for Arteta's team after the way they've performed in the last couple of seasons.
With Thomas Gray to comment in here to say that it's basically it's not as if any of the rest of the United team are pressing either. It's not as if, you know, that they can rely on a lot of the other players to pick up the slack. Before we let you away, we better get a word on Michael Carrick, Alan. Obviously, he's left with a very good reputation now from the results he's pulled off. Do you expect that, obviously, there's Kieran McKenna and Mike Phelan there, do you expect that those guys will stay on under Ranić, or how do you see it playing out over the next little while?
Yeah, I would have thought so. I mean, I haven't heard too much. I might have missed it about Ranić bringing in other people that he usually works with. So we'll watch that space. But yeah, Michael Carrick's done really well in the short time he's had. The results have been really good. And so you'd like to think that connection with the club going back will be retained. And I'm sure Ranić will have sympathy with that. You know, he won't want a huge clear out, I don't think. But he's the man in charge and he'll call the shots without question.
Good stuff. Alan, thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks. That's a pleasure, lads. Cheers.
Arsenal and England legend Alan Smith on the line there. Interesting to get his thoughts on Aubameyang as well. I think it feels on like everybody sort of, and maybe chiefly Arteta, crossing their fingers and just hoping this guy comes right.
The frustrating thing with Aubameyang now is that the vast majority of the squad are going only one way. And as I say, I'm not sure about the angle of the trajectory, but they're certainly on the way up. There is no question right now that Aubameyang is going down, and potentially he is developing at a more acute rate than everybody else in the squad, but he's just going downwards. So that's probably the frustration. It's just at odds with everything else that's happening, and it's such a vital position. I'd love to see Martinelli tried in the number 9 role over the next little while. Anybody who watched the finish against Newcastle at the weekend was sublime. Now, in fairness, that does come about as from him coming off the right flank. So maybe he's just better cutting in and he'll never make it as a number 9. But his Manchester City point is a good one. I mean, they've got by pretty okay with a false 9 over the last little while since Aguero has kind of obviously fallen back and then left the club. So maybe it's something worth trying because he needs to find something in that department because it's not working
well
right now.
Well, it's a shot to nothing in so many ways because if the current guy isn't working, then
kind of.
What have you got to lose almost?
Well, you've got to lose to Everton at the weekend if it goes wrong. And I think Arsenal maybe get back into this. The negative outlook is that Arsenal get back into this place where everybody wants to play them. Anybody on a bad run of form sees Arsenal. It's like, right, that's our opportunity to get back to winning ways.
He was one of the better players last night. I think it's worth giving him a bash.